Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
It's great to be able to win games on the defensive side because, honestly, offensively, it's not going to be there every night. We're not going to have a 150 night on a regular basis. So it's great to win these games that you got to grind it out. And honestly, I think that's great for us to kind of build towards going late in the year. and then, yeah, that play was designed for me to be freed up, kind of misdirection. To draw attention to Lou and J. Mike, and then Trez coming to clean me up on the other side. I think it's tough. As much as I'm trying to get into a rhythm and find myself and bring what I bring to the game, I think what I found most and most impressive about my teammates is, I got guys that's been doing this and guys that are great and skilled and special. Lou Will, one of the best scorers. Trez is proven to be one of the best scorers at his position. It's just so many guys. Defensively, there's guys that do what I do and do it at a high level. I think, it's a gray area that I'm in where I'm trying to find myself and bring what I bring and still, let those guys be great and special as well.
That's the sound of the horn. Welcome to the Legendary Clipcast. I'm your host, Chris Kowild, although I'm not available right now.
With your left knee contusion?
With my contuge. But from what I'm hearing, I'm going to be available very soon.
There's some contusion confusion.
There's confusion.
We'll get to it. Let's finish the intro.
And with me, as always, is Burbank Hank Henry Dittman, everybody.
Hello, Clipper fans. Big win tonight with 19,068 people in attendance. We saw a nice grinded out win at
One
Staples Arena.
One more person in that building and we would have had 19,069, dudes. Party on.
It's a nice win. Look, it's low-scoring game. The shots are not
falling.
Oh, my
gosh. It was at one point it was tied 66-66.
I yelled. It was the sign of the beast.
And it was like the fourth quarter. It was somewhere super late for it to be that low scoring. But you got to win these grindy, ugly ones. Paul George. We haven't talked about Paul George on Clipcast.
No, because he hadn't started yet when we talked last game.
We've got him on Clipcast. We've got lots of Paul George on Clipcast.
It's fun. It's fun. It's again, it's any other game, but it was fun just to see familiar faces, share some laughs, and just have good competition. I thought it was just great competition all across the board.
Unlike the great Kawhi Leonard, who I love, we haven't seen both of them together yet. Kawhi Leonard, soft-spoken, man of few words.
Yeah.
Paul George,
verbose. Yeah.
Verbosious. The verbosity,
zen.
Verbate.
He's very zen. He also he says very clearly in his interview, I was surprised he brought up the critiques on him about not being a clutch final game, final shot of the game shooter.
Playoff Paul, what are you talking about?
And he frankly said, I don't care.
I'm not that player that looks at the shots I'm taking and looks at statistics and percentages. I'm not that guy. I get lost in the game and whatever happens, happens. I don't look at the numbers. I don't look at the statistics. I'm confident in whatever shot I take, whether I make or miss. It's part of the game, and I don't care if I haven't made one. There was a big thing about I can't make it in to win the game, and that stuff doesn't bother me. I'm out there to play hard, and I'm out there to win games. I feel confident in every shot I take. It's up to me to make it or to miss it. So. Again, that type of stuff don't bother me, and it's nothing special about it. I mean, I wanted this game. We wanted to win, regardless who the opponent was. We want to keep this thing going, and we're in a great position. Fact of the matter is, we've yet to play a game with a full roster and a full lineup. So, you know, we'll take these wins. We'll take the ugly ones.
I don't track the last shot. I like to win. I get lost in the game.
I'll tell you what he did do.
It's exciting to hear.
Hit the game winner. Yes, it wasn't the buzzer beater, but it was the game winner.
Well,
and then Danilo Gallinari and Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, a.k.a. Slink, a.k.a. Shea Gorgeous-Alexander, both missed potential game winners.
Yeah, in a game.
So look at that trade right there.
In a game where we were really having a hard time getting any buckets at all, the ball went into Paul's hands, and he drained the clutch three to win the game.
Clipper Nation, I understand you miss Slink. You miss Shea Gorgeous.
Oh, my God.
You miss SGA. But he had a late-game crucial turnover. And take a look what we got. We got Paul George, who hits the three-ball game winner, who gets fouled with 0.5 seconds left. He makes his first free throw, and then he intentionally misses it so they don't have – because they had a timeout left. OKC Thunder had a timeout left. And if he makes that free throw, they're up three, and they call timeout, advance the ball to half court. They can get off one of those horrible late-second catch-and-shoot threes, and it's tied. But no, Paul George doesn't do that. Brilliant Paul George doesn't do that. And so what I'm saying is, look what we got. The guy who they drum up, make a three-pointer to win the game – he does it in a matter of seconds. It was the perfect play drawn up for the perfect player. He hits the three. Boom. Now you go to the other side of the court. Who we gave up for him? Shea Gilgeous-Alexander misses. Danilo Gallinari misses. And here's what I don't miss is this silly ref challenge NFL nonsense until tonight. It's the best thing I've ever seen. I love it.
Let's listen to what Doc said.
Hey, guys. I'm changing my opinion. I think the challenge is good for the league after all.
We felt the same way. We literally, when it happened, we were like, oh, this never ever gets overturned. They never overturn
it. They never overturn it.
Boy, they
sure
did.
The guy in front of us said it's not a foul.
They got it right.
And it wasn't a foul.
They got it right. Listen, Clipper fans. First of all, aren't you tired at this point about crying over Shea? Great, he's gonna be a star.
You know how they're
but
doing on
we,
the road,
but can
right?
we just talk about tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Like all, I'm gonna liken it to something. I'm gonna liken it to the comparisons people are doing about LeBron James's numbers right now and Kawhi Leonard's numbers right now. But when you compare how they played when they actually played on the same court, I prefer Kawhi Leonard.
Sure, he beat LeBron James.
So everyone's crying about Shea Gilgeous.
I prefer Paul George.
And us not him not being on the team and what we've lost. Tonight, what we lost was a guy that went 1-for-4 from three, mm-hmm. had 0 assists to 5 turnovers.
0 assists.
11 points and 5 fouls.
Five turnovers?
So please know that I love SGA. I love him.
Yeah.
Just like Doc said, when he saw – Doc even said tonight, when he saw on the report who they were losing in that trade, it broke his heart. But people, we got Kawhi Leonard and Paul George.
Yeah.
Period.
Period.
It's good. It's good. I'm seeing – all types of defenders, from you know the small guards to guys at my position, it's great for me early on, because I'm only gonna get better with it. I'm only gonna figure out my timing, and it's good. I'm seeing all of this now. Very important, very important. Again, these are the games that's gonna build the character in this group. We find ways to battle it out when the offense isn't going, and we find ways to come up with big plays at the end. It's going to carry over. Again, we don't want the games where we get to score 150. As great as it is, we'll have times within a year where we just have an offensive explosion. You got me, Lou, Kawhi, Trez. You just can't shrink the floor. There's no way the guys can, take themselves out of the play defensively and try to face guard. You just can't do that because, Lou, Kawhi, myself, whoever is getting that type of defense, we're going to pick you apart and we're going to make plays offensively. For the most part, we're going to get every team's best shot, and we got to prepare for the big games.
And Paul George made a funny joke about all the picks, too.
I thought it worked out great for him. I think Shea is a future star, and he's proven that he can carry a load. He's going to work. He's, from my indication, from what I heard of him being here, he works hard, he works on his game, and then him just being under CP, he's gonna learn so much. So they got a star, and then the 100 picks that they got. I mean,
100 picks. He said.
He said they're doing pretty well. You know, they're set up pretty good. The guys they got and 100 picks.
You know who you know who disagrees with them doing real well is the win loss record. That disagrees big
time. Well,
he
said they're going to do real well.
Yeah, well,
they did real well in the trade.
Yeah, well, they didn't.
But
I don't think.
Chris Paul is a place keeper that eventually he's going to retire.
A winning basketball team, if you play in that sleepy arena over in Oklahoma City with the haunted hotel, wherever Oklahoma City is, I think it's in Kansas.
It's not. You know it's not.
I know that Kansas City's in Missouri, so why wouldn't Oklahoma City be in Kansas, Hank?
You're a confused person.
I'm going to toot my own horn on that one.
Toot, toot.
No! Yeah, that was my job. That was Hank leaned in and toot. All right, so.
Now, speaking OKC, of OKC, we really both got it wrong on how this last four games were going to go. But go ahead. Talk about OKC's
record. OKC, 5-3 at home, defeated on the road, 0-5. You want to talk about an impressive home team. That's our Los Angeles Clippers,
8-1.
Now, last season, we were 9-1. We stumbled and lost versus the very talented Denver Nugget team last season in our home opener. And then we rattled off 9 wins in a row. Well, we are going to eclipse that. It looks like we're going to, you know, look, we got a tough matchup Wednesday versus the Eastern Conference Giants, Celtics. What I'm hearing from the people on the inside, Kawhi is coming back. I think he's coming back Wednesday. From what you're hearing,
I think Friday's more likely. What we're hearing
is a rematch versus Houston.
Yeah, what we're hearing is that the injury is not that serious and it should be soon. And
weren't you scared? I was scared.
No, I wasn't because
I was scared.
Because a contusion is really not that big of a deal.
I thought that was just like
you thought that was just BS.
I thought that was BS talk, and all of a sudden I was scared.
I don't think they do that. I don't think in the NBA they tell you fake injuries this early in the season. They tell you what the injury is and how long the player's
going to
be.
Dude, he missed 3 games in a row, and I was scared.
Do you think there's any part of it that was look? Obviously, if it was the playoffs, it would have played. Do you think there's any part of it was them saying, "Hey, we're rolling in Paul George. Why not just let him have the team and find his feet without Kawhi stumbling around? Do you think it was just safer to save Kawhi and let him heal?
I think Kawhi got bruised, and they're like, we are going to be super conservative and super safe, and we are not going to force him back. Because Doc Rivers did say he's never felt better, and we want to keep it that way. And yeah. I believe Doc Rivers when he said that. I really do. I think Kawhi Leonard, if this was the playoffs, will be playing every game. There's no back-to-backs in the playoffs. But I was sitting there saying, well, there's 13 back-to-backs, so Kawhi's going to miss 13 games. And I was wrong, Hank. I was dead wrong.
You were wrong.
I think the challenge is good for the league after all.
Wednesday night, the Celtics come to town. Friday night, Houston Rockets rematch come to town. 2 big home games, and if you want to go, you got to get your seats on Vivid Seats. Get the app, okay? Because Wednesday, it's the Celtics, Clippers versus Doc's former Celtics.
Oh, yeah.
It's a can't-miss game of the year. The Boston Celtics are coming to town Friday. Houston Rockets coming back to town.
Yeah, now Vivid Seats, your top source for tickets to the events you want to go to, and you can sort your by price. You look at the seats in the section, the row of your choice. That means if your friends have tickets to a game and you want to go to a game, the Vivid Seats app will help you track seats within the same section.
Go to the App Store, get the Vivid Seats app. They're going to make things even better because Vivid Seats now is a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. It's called Vivid Seats Rewards. And from what I understand, if you go to 10 games, you get a free sandwich.
I don't think that's right.
Doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense, but we do know that loyal Clipcast listener Mike Delatta used this loyalty program and then ended up with free Lauryn Hill tickets. And
I think they're free?
And I think Lauryn Hill actually played the concert for once. So that's positive as well.
Go to the App Store or Google Play, download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program like your friend Mike, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, and if you saw Lauryn Hill, the good news is that every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer
guarantee.
But they got the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more. They have it all.
Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app. Join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today.
And when it's time to buy, new users enter promo code
OVERTIME
at checkout to receive a discount of up to
$100.
$100.
OVERTIME, all caps, all one word, OVERTIME.
Promo code, people.
Yeah. Oh, Vivid Seats. So good to be back in the Vivid Seats studio. Do you think the drunk guy in front of us got his seats from Vivid Seats?
I don't think he did. And let's not say too much about him.
Oh, because
he was drunk and hitting on some young girls.
He was hitting young girls
who weren't having
it. And he was a relative of one of our
Stop it. What? Stop it.
What?
Stop it. Don't say another word. That's inappropriate, and I really want you to stop.
I'm not saying anything.
Okay.
We don't know
who that person was.
I will say nothing about this guy with the white hat and the white jacket.
Stop
lost
it.
Lost the keys.
Stop it.
He lost his friend's keys.
He was having a good time.
A little too good, if you ask me.
Careful.
Okay, fine. He was having a bad time. Is that better, Hank?
Mm-hmm.
Toot, toot. All right, so what we've heard toot, around toot. The campus, it's going to be Wednesday. It's going to be Friday. It's going to be soon. We're going to see Kawhi and Paul George together. None of these games are back-to-back. There's a five-game homestand. We've seen two of them. We're perfect on this homestand.
Yep.
Wednesday night, the Celtics come to town. They just lost the other night. They were
Hayward's out for the 3 months or something.
Hayward?
Like isn't it Haywood?
Hey, word? Okay. It's Gordon Hayward. It was Gordon Hayward. Doc Rivers' old man crush. He used to be on the Utah. We've outlawed jazz in this horrible city. Now he's on Boston.
Oh, Salt Lake City's a great town.
Oh, brother, Boston's way better, pal.
That's a great town,
too. We got jazz. We got rock and roll.
I love all of America's cities.
You know what band comes from Boston? The band Boston.
You're spitting on me.
Also the band Kansas.
Stop it.
Born in Oklahoma City.
Stop this bit. It's
brother,
gross.
Brother.
No one likes this voice. This voice is gross.
I love this
stop,
voice.
Stop. Stop.
Toot, toot. Toot, toot, Hank.
Wicked hot.
Have a too. Sam Adams
stop
autumn
the
lager.
Voice. I don't like it. No one likes it.
Wednesday night. It's an early start. 7 p.m.
Don't forget, Clippers fans. 7 p.m. on Wednesday.
10 p.m. Lancaster time.
Stop.
Okay. Weirdo. Friday is Houston. We have a very great game ahead of us.
That would be the
we're
night.
We're out for blood.
That would be the
blood.
Night to have both our guys.
I disagree. I think Wednesday's the night to have both our guys.
Let them get their sea legs on the Clippers ship.
You need to have both those guys. I'm pretty sure Wednesday night is a nationally covered game. I'm pretty sure
Friday
is a nationally covered
game.
You
game. Think it matters
I do
that
think
it's a
it
nationally
matters.
Covered
it's marquee,
game.
Baby.
I think they play
tonight
when they're
was
healthy.
Monday night. I don't know the stat, but I guarantee you we lead the league in BS Monday night games because Monday night games are BS.
May I address some BS?
Please do.
There have been some Clippers fans, including on social media, who have called, who have said some negative things about my man, Patrick Beverley, who I love.
What?
As you know.
Oh, how good was it to get Pat Bev back?
Pat Bev, great to see him back, but they're saying Pat Bev needs to stop shooting the three.
Shut
now,
up.
Now, look, he has been.
He's there for defense.
Our entire team has been poor from three. Our entire team.
We started
tonight
good
he
and
went,
we haven't been good
tonight
late.
He went 3 of 7 field goals.
It's,
all 42%,
seven were
threes.
I believe.
He made 3 of his 7 threes. That is 42%. His career average is 37.
There you
now
go.
Now can we please, first of all, take it easy about crying over losing Shea. We got Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. Now can we let our players shoot, Clippers fans?
May
like,
I say something?
Can we remember where we were 3 years ago? Let these guys shoot. Remember Jamal had to shoot
May
through
I say
it.
Something?
Gross. No one wants to hear you do that.
God bless you.
Oh, my gosh. You're terrible.
Excuse me.
You are
me.
Disgusting.
May I say something?
Yes.
I am sick of some of these naysayers talking about trading Trez.
What?
Yes, there's been murmurs
oh,
of moving Trez by the trade deadline.
Oh my gosh, Montrezl Harrell, who went 28 points and 12 rebounds. 28 points and 12 rebounds. That's
he only
who they
had,
want to trade.
He only had two in the
off
first
the
half.
Bench.
He had 10 in the second
off
half.
Off the bench, six man candidate. You're talking about Montrezl. If Lou
is so good, we have a spoil of riches. Is that what you like to say? Spoil of
embarrassment
riches.
Embarrassment of
riches. We have
riches.
An embarrassment of riches.
And
we're spoiled with embarrassment.
You want to trade him?
No, I don't want to trade him because we've got two great centers.
So why are you Ivica suggesting that
Zubac,
we would trade him?
I'm not saying it.
Well, you brought it up.
It irritates me.
It's terrible.
That's why I belched. I had to get out the demons.
It's terrible. Look, look.
And people have been
Zubac also is amazing.
Good starter.
He was
cooking, leaving.
He was one rebound away from double doubling in the first half.
Yes,
Zubac.
10 and 9.
And no, we don't
half,
go
I
back
believe.
To him. And there's a lot of Clippers fans too on social media
want
crying.
More minutes.
Why doesn't he come back? Why doesn't
more
he come
minutes,
back?
More minutes.
Because we have more than we need, and he's a great guy to get things started. But once Montrezl comes in and is hot fire, his hype video that they show during the game,
hot fire.
Where everything that Montrezl does, he's inflamed. Mm-hmm. That's what it's like watching him live. He's fire.
He
had one dunk where
up.
His entire body went all the way horizontal to
sure.
the rim. Like, he's a beast.
Yes.
He's incredible.
His whole body was a contusion.
They're going to figure out how to pay him.
He did a full body contusion.
They'll go, you don't know what words mean. They're going to go over the salary cap to keep him if they have to. He's amazing.
Yes, and we are certainly not dealing him this
oh,
year.
Oh, we're not dealing him.
No,
for
and
who?
People are idiots. And also, people are saying, Lou plus minus, Lou. Look, Lou is there for offense. and Pat is there for defense.
Clippers fans, if you have been watching
this team. Paul George, Montrezl Kawhi are there for both.
If you have been watching this team as long as Chris and I have or longer.
Spanning 2 decades.
You will know that what happened tonight, where we had a player who you put the ball in his hands with seconds left to go to make a three and he makes it, is new.
It's rare.
It is new to watch a player make a clutch shot.
We've seen Lou do it. We've seen Lou Williams do it.
Yeah, it's rare.
It's rare.
This is what shooters do.
Jamal Crawford
used
to do it.
And at one point, there was Chris Paul. You could see him very clearly on the TV coverage hollering, I play both ends. I play both ends. You know what? Sometimes there are specialists. No one ever clowned Dennis Rodman for not making 30 points a game.
Sure.
There are players that do certain things.
Role players.
And we need guys who can always score. And
talk to me, Hank.
You pointed this out to me.
When
Lou Williams goes left, he scores.
It goes in.
That's what you need. And now we have a guy in the paint who can do that in the clutch.
Sure.
Now we have multiple guys who can do that on the wing.
Sure.
In multiple positions of multiple sizes.
And multiple guys who can get stops late when you need them.
Like this was a game where Paul George was perfectly suited. It was also a game where bodies were banging around. Kawhi Leonard is like a brick.
I can't remember who stopped Danilo Gallinari to get that foul that was then overturned because he didn't foul and it was ball. I think it was McGruder or it was Mo Harkless. I can't remember.
It was Harkless.
Harkless.
I'm pretty sure it was Harkless.
Fear the Harkless. Mosef H. Buckets. The H is for hustle. Mostly Harkless.
In the same way that the stats don't show just how ineffective Shea was. And I want to say again, Clippers fans, I was really sad when we lost SGA. I'm just trying to really help you through this pain.
I wasn't because we got Kawhi and Paul George. I wasn't sad at all.
I want to help you.
I was elated. It was actually my best moment as a Clipper Nation member ever.
I want to help you through this pain so that we can stop this narrative.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to tell you also that players like Mosef H. Buckets, that's what you said
was? Yes, Mosef H. Buckets. The H is for Hustle Hart, but mostly Harkless.
Mosef is an intangibles guy that it's all positive. The things that he does off the ball, it's incredible. He's a disruptive force on the court.
I think these are the same people that were very upset that we lost Mo Williams. Remember when we lost Mo Williams?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
That guy can go for 50. P.S. SGA cannot go for 50, and he never has. Maybe one day he will.
That's not even the argument. The consensus is that the guy is going to be a star.
The future of the league. I don't think he is.
But that's the kind of thing you can cry about when you already have a star.
I think it's the same thing like people who are bitching and moaning about Eric Bledsoe going. Oh. I think it's very similar to Eric Bledsoe.
Maybe at least one person listening to this was trying to follow my point. My point was
I wasn't.
What we never really had along the way was somebody who was clutch in the final minutes.
No.
I vividly remember games where Chris Paul – no disrespect, dribbled off his leg, or missed a free throw in the final minutes.
Sure. He made that one shot versus San Antonio game 7. I'm going to give him that.
I could no way in a million years do what he does. So he's a human being, and he's human, and mistakes were made.
Sure.
That said, there are players who make those shots when it counts, and tonight we saw it happen. And when it happened, us and the guys in front of us all turned around to each other and said, oh, we have one of those
now. We have one of those now.
We have a guy who can score in the clutch.
And they had Chris Paul, and he couldn't get it done. And they had SGA, and he couldn't get it done.
You know what Chris Paul could get done?
When
we were in the heat of the big three, the Lob City era,
yeah,
people would always say, you guys are flop artists, you cry babies. And we're like, no, we're not. And now, with some hindsight, we realize we really were.
Sure.
Man, Chris Paul is a genius at drawing BS fouls.
Oh, yeah.
That swinging his arms stuff into guys' arms.
European football.
Literally, that foul you're talking about in the final in the fourth quarter, he literally leapt in front of the defender and then fell down like a soccer player. He's a genius.
I saw a guy.
It's infuriating when he's not on your team.
I saw a guy in the stadium with a Clippers jersey, and it said on top of it, cry Clippers. And I was like, what? And he turned around, it was an Odom jersey. I'm like, oh, this is a hater who says cry Clippers because of the big three, quote unquote. Because
they were crybabies.
Lob City era, because they were crybabies.
They were crybabies.
And of course, while we were in it, we were sticking up for them.
Yeah. But it was hard to defend.
We don't have to stick up for Kawhi Leonard. Although I guess we have to stick up for Kawhi Leonard's load management, which is insane. It worked last year in Toronto. It worked.
Hey, man.
They were the champs.
Also,
it's going to work for us.
But also, yes, and it worked for the Spurs. But also, Patrick Beverley is not being load managed, and he missed a game. This is just the fact of the NBA.
Guys
are going to miss games because of ticky-tack little injuries. That's going to happen.
And I think what this is the new normal. Now, if you are banged up, You're not going to play through the pain like it was the 90s or 80s.
Well, that is a good point. Let me support that with a cross-sport reference.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Never in the 70s or 80s would Andrew Luck have retired at his age.
Yes, that's true. Like, that is a great classic Hank Ditman cross-sport ref.
Like, that's just never going to happen.
No.
And now, this is
guys
what is going
paid.
On.
They make so much money amount of time. They
people
can retire.
People are thinking about their life. They're also millionaires and thinking, hey, I'm going to have a good life ahead of me. I don't want to have a lifetime of pain.
Right.
Like one of my very first acting jobs, you were in the studio audience, was Hang Time, mm-hmm. and Dick Butkus was in the cast. And good Lord, it was like...
NFL great Hall of Famer, I believe.
Just limped around everywhere he went, and you just were looking at this guy going, man, he really sacrificed his body for the game.
Absolutely.
These young players are not interested in doing that.
No.
Unless they literally are in... The last player we've seen do that, unless they literally were arms reach from a ring... was RG3, and he's constantly brought up in football.
Sure.
He's constantly brought up as a player who they let play himself into obscurity, irrelevance, because he injured himself playing football. These guys are going to rest if they can rest, unless they Kevin Durant, because they felt like, hey, if Kevin Durant comes here and turns it around, we might win another ring. That's
Fools.
The only time anybody's ever going to do it again.
He shouldn't have done it.
Well, he insisted on playing.
And he broke minutes into the game. He broke.
Yeah,
I remember when you did that episode of Hang Time with Dick Butkus, and you're like, did someone just drop a plate of glassware in craft service? And it was Dick Butkus' knees just walking, just
it's not
breaking
true.
And cracking and
it's not true.
Crashing.
It's not
absolutely true.
I'll
never forget that.
Our bigs look so good. You know, early on in the season, everyone was talking about rebounding for us being the big challenge. Patrick Beverley, as we know, somewhat kind of turned that around. He's voracious. And Montrez is like a big Patrick Beverley as far as like his energy coming off the bench and coming in and just being ready to explode.
Sure.
But our rebounds look nice, and we paced with them. Steven Adams is a great rebounder.
Are you reminded at all?
We paced with them very nicely because they got 45 boards and we got 49.
We out-rebounded him. And Steven Adams is a monster.
He's great.
He left the game to go to the locker room multiple times. And you know I had a theory about that. All right, coach, I got to go take a poo.
You thought he had to poo.
I got to go do a number two, coach.
And you assumed he was doing it in the showers.
And I just thought, I'm going to go in the showers and not take my shorts off, coach.
It's gross.
I'll be back in a jiff. But I gotta go do a poo.
This is our most foul cast since I joined as your co-host.
Well, you're welcome. Funny way to say thank you, but you're welcome. Steven Adams, who I thought was Atlantean.
He's a skill player.
I thought he was Atlantean from the underwater city of Atlantis.
He does look like Momoa.
But that's why I poo in the showers. Because I'm from Atlantis,
Weird. This is not as gross as the Boston accent, but pretty gross.
Don't make me go back to him. But let me ask you this. Zubac starting as center, Trez coming in and finishing as center. Does this harken back at all to when Vinny Del Negro had DeAndre Jordan, Vinny Del Negligent, Vinny Vidi Vici, who I hated.
Ugh.
And I love Dunleavy. I'll always say I love Dunleavy. I love Doc Rivers more, and I always hated Vinny. He had DeAndre Jordan start, and he always had DeAndre Jordan sitting in the bench on the fourth quarter and Lamar Odom finishing.
Well, here's the difference is that was because DJ couldn't hit free throws.
Sure.
He was a liability, and that was the reason
I don't think – I honestly don't think it's similar.
Honestly.
Montrez is such a strong finisher.
I think that's what it is. I think that there's something bigger. It's,
and Odom was a former sixth man of the year.
It's like this. If Patrick Beverley was our coming-off-the-bench point guard
–
and let's say Terrence Mann was our starting point guard.
Man, he's such a man.
And Terrence is looking nice. His stat line doesn't really show like his defense and how well he's playing.
Just keeping the ball moving. Paul
George even said nice things about his defense. If Terrence Mann was our starter, or let's say Rajon Rondo was our starter.
Right.
And then Patrick Beverley came off the bench with the energy that Patrick Beverley brings. Would you ever go back to your starter in the fourth quarter, or would you stick with Patrick Beverley? That's what it is. Like, Zubac is nice. He's getting better. He's learning his new body.
Sure,
he's getting stronger.
More minutes
as he gets older. He nearly double-doubled. And I don't mean like he had 8 rebounds. He had 10 points or 12 points and nine rebounds and just missed one rebound by his fingertips at the half.
Yep.
But when you have Montrezl Harrell come off the bench and do what he does, why would you go back?
And also Trez came in and got 10 rebounds and a half.
Yeah.
Like Zubac couldn't do in the first half, Montrezl could do in the second half. Let's talk about Paul George, the man of the hour.
Oh, and also
that's two wins in
a row. Sorry. One more thing. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No,
talk about Zubac.
That's
what we do. Zubac also is on minutes restrictions. Like, they are kind of watching his minutes.
Can I ask you something? You listen to basically every episode of Lockdown Clips, okay? Shout out Lockdown Clips.
Shout out Lockdown Clips, man. Hey, guys, why are you sitting two seats away from each other in the press room?
Do they interrupt each other on their show?
No, they're much more respectful of each other.
Are they, though, sitting two seats away from each other in the press room?
I'm worried there's a big beef between them right now. Listen,
brewing.
Listen, if mommy if mommy and daddy split up, I don't know who I'll choose. I'm really hurt that they don't sit next to each other in the press room. It makes me nervous.
You're a Charles guy. You're Team Charles, I thought.
I love them both. I want them together.
You made it. Line in the sand.
I drew a line in the sand.
On curly hair side, and I was on glasses side.
They're both glasses. That's confusing.
Is it?
A little.
Are you vaping right now?
I'm sucking on my pen because I'm nervous about mommy and daddy breaking up.
They're not going to break up. But it was weird they didn't sit next to each
other. But I do love their podcast.
But at the same time, it's weird that you sit on my lap.
I love Lockdown Clips. Doc is like, hey, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to be honest with you. It's weird that you guys are sitting on each other's laps.
Hey, you know what's weird?
I'm here for it.
You know what's weird? Not more people are doing it.
He never said that.
You know what I enjoyed? You know what I enjoyed at the game?
What's that?
They started off Kiss Cam with a same-sex couple kiss. And they didn't make a huge deal out of it, but I like that.
And they met and this couple met on Bumble. All right, so listen. Paul George, man of the hour. I'm going to talk to you about his night one as a Clipper. 33 points in a losing effort. Night two, first game as the hometown hero in the home stadium for the home team. 37 points in 20 minutes, most points scored by any NBA player who was on the floor less than 21 minutes ever. Yes, guys have scored more in a shorter period of time, but those guys continued to play 30 plus minutes. This guy just played 20 minutes and scored 37 points. That's 70 points in his first two games. Wow. How much did he have last night, Hank? I know he had the game winner. I know he had the last 4 points, could have had 5, but he intentionally missed that free throw. He had that 3 to win the game. That play was drummed up for him. That was awesome. Paul George is awesome. How many points did he have last night?
Well, look, he had 18 points. His assist.
That's 88 points in 3 games. That is phenomenal.
His assist to turnovers was 4-7. He came away. Look, he
had 7 turnovers.
He went 50% on his field goals.
That's great.
He went 3 of 7 from his threes. Just exactly.
He hit the one he needed.
So not as impressive numbers, but he even said,
"You're not impressed by 70 in 2 games."
These are the games I'm talking about tonight
or last night. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's talking about. He even said these are the games you need to win. It's one thing to put, he even said this, it's one thing to put 150 on a team when your offense is really clicking, but these games are the ones you need to learn how to win.
The dirty grindies.
And so when he comes in with a perfectly even 0 plus minus, he's literally neutralized in the realm of the plus minus stat, and he's in there making 16 points, which would be fine for somebody who isn't your star player. And then at that point, it's about that final shot. And for a long...
88 points
without going,
in 3 games.
Without slowing the podcast down to go back to the actual minutes here.
Once again, 4 guys in double digits. That's
very little scoring in the fourth quarter.
It was a low-scoring game, my man. And it was a low... So 90-88 is a low-scoring game.
And man, we are hanging our hat on defense. It is so thrilling to hear that our game plan so clearly is... You win with defense, and that way you win whether or not your shots are falling or not.
Oh, and we didn't even mention the fact, you just mentioned it, 150 points when we just clobbered the ATL Hawks. That was the biggest W in Clipper history. The previous biggest W was we won
by 48 versus the lowly L word, whose name shall not be spoken on my show by me.
Lakers.
I'll never say it.
Toot toot.
Ah! That doesn't irritate me as much as that L word.
Yes, 150.
But the 49-point margin of victory, 150 to 101, we clobbered them right where the 101 meets the 110 in downtown Los Angeles. We clobbered Atlanta. It was awesome. What a great home cooking W. What did you prefer, Hank? This close slobber knocker with Paul George hitting the game winner? Or the blowout home W?
That's a really good question. Here's the problem.
Mm-hmm. I know you like both of them.
The problem, and I've stated this opinion before based on Blake Griffin's call out to the crowd to, hey, back us up. It's almost like we're at an away game.
Wait, his name was Blake Griffin? I've been saying Blaine Griffith whole time.
No, it's not Blaine Griffith. But we've talked about this before.
Mm.
Years and years and years.
Years and years.
Of having the lead at the half, watching it go away at the third,
Matthew
and
then Lillard.
Get blown out in the fourth.
Matthew Lillard, Shaggy. Used to bet on the Clippers in the first half.
We'd win every time.
And then would enjoy the game and root for the Clippers.
Because he'd already won.
He would never gamble on them.
And so I'm so used to that the only game I'm able to literally relax for and really get loud about are the games that are blowouts.
Oh, because you're trained.
Because I'm trained. You're negatively
trained.
Yes, now I will tell you.
You have to untrain yourself.
I'll tell you, I wasn't sitting there tonight thinking we're going to lose this game, but I would prefer, so to answer your question, I'll go back to your question now.
Please do.
My preference would be a nail biter that we win.
Oh.
Then a blowout that we win.
Oh.
Would be my preference because,
but
I would hate a nail biter that we lose.
Of course, of course, of course.
When it suddenly was a tie, or like when they were up by one, I just was like, oh my gosh, after all this, we're not going to lose this game, are we? Now that's an improvement because a couple years ago I would have been saying, we're going to lose this game.
Right.
I think a lot of Clippers fans are like that.
I never said that, but I'm a moron.
You're an apologist and a homer.
I'm a huge homer.
But I also think this is a culture change, and that's something really special. Was it Doc who said it in the pregame maybe about CP3? That period of time, Lob City was a culture change for the team. We became a winning team. We became a team that sold out games, not when we first came to the arena and you could buy 300s and they'd let you down to
Blaine
the 200s.
Blaine Griffith and the Dunk Show sold out games.
And now we are going to have a second culture change.
Yeah.
And the second culture change is to a team that has clutch players that win, a destination team. It all started with drafting Blake Griffin.
Sure. Well,
but that's
going
to be a culture change. But to answer your question, my preference is to win a buzzer beater.
Chris Paul didn't choose to be a Clipper. Blake Griffin did not choose to be a Clipper. DeAndre Jordan didn't choose to be a Clipper.
Oh, this is big. I never thought about this.
Kawhi Leonard and Paul George chose to be Clippers. So I agree with you that, yes, this is a culture change.
You're blowing my mind, dude.
But I disagree with you. This didn't start all the way back. This starts with Steve Ballmer. This starts with Doc Rivers. This starts with Jerry West and Lawrence Frank.
Right, but hold on a second. Without Blake Griffin being drafted and making an exciting team,
I totally get that.
CP3 wants to come to, nobody wants to play for the Clippers.
CP3 didn't want to come here. CP3 did not want to come. He wanted to be an L word. Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are the first superstars that truly wanted to be here and are here, and we still haven't seen them play together. But we will next time.
Yeah, and by the way, Paul
on Clipcast.
By the way, Paul George.
That's a natural ending.
Doc was saying,
why are you still talking? The show is over. That would have been a great ending, right?
It would have been. I didn't realize you were wrapping up. I could do this show.
Done HBOG Hank's Player of the Game.
But Montrezl Harrell.
He's skilled. I mean, he's skilled. He's great hands. Plays bigger than what he is. You know, he contests, he takes charges, he brings the toughness, great finisher. You know, he's got the complete package and he's got a niche for this league. You know, he's definitely got a niche and he knows his game. And those are the guys that do well when they know what they do and they do it at a high level.
How dare you, the prince of toot toot poo poo HBOG? How do you not toot toot your
bed? Because we've already done so much show. These people got to go to bed or go to work or something.
Well, I'll tell you one thing.
28 points, 12 rebounds.
First of all, this is all bonus. Okay, this is overtime.
Now you're in the OT.
Should have ended. And if you've gotten this far,
I just want to tip my cap to you, Hank.
Toot toot.
Oh, I'm about to compliment you, and now you just ruined it. Congratulations on your big show on Netflix, which is like the best place to be, and we're both there right now, and congratulations.
You're the movie guy on Netflix. I'm the TV guy.
And you're the TV guy. Prank Encounters is fabulous. Mm-hmm. Watch it and watch it again. What are your episodes of Prank Encounter so they can just go to those and then watch the other ones?
I shot three episodes that one of them is being held for the second season.
Season two, great. Binge them all, but which ones?
Sure, please. Episodes 3 and 4 are my episodes.
Back to back.
Back to
back. Watch them. They are great.
Oh, thank you for that.
Kind of scary and weird and great. The kid from Stranger Things is
Gaten
the star. Gaten
Matarazzo is hosting.
And Hank is one of the players and is fabulous. I mean, that episode 3 is all you.
Oh, yeah.
All you.
Yeah, yeah.
And you, and tip of my cap to you, sir. Great job.
Clip of the hat.
A clip of my clap to Klee Clenry Clitman. Excuse me.
Oh, oh, oh.
Well,
it's all right. It's all right. It's all right.
It's deep in the show. but congratulations, Clipper Nation. It was a tough one to go 2-2 in the past week.
Yeah, I called 3-1. You called 4-0.
Yeah,
and we were both wrong.
We were both wrong, and you hate to lose to James Harden, who is the king of what we used to be, the Lob City or Flop City, if you will.
What's going to happen when we play them, man?
We're going to destroy them, and Kawhi will be there, and Paul George will be there, and we will win that game, and we will destroy them. Because we shut down Russell Westbrook.
So is
that
what's your
game.
Call? What's your call for these next couple of games?
Wednesday. Fabulous.
Yeah, we're gonna definitely beat the
versus
Celtics.
Celtics.
Home cooking. Celtics.
Home cooking. The Celtics are very good. But the Clippers are going to win.
Both Paul George and Patrick Beverley shooting 42% from three. It's starting to happen.
Yeah.
The shooting is warming up. It's nice.
It's that home cooking. And last year we go 9-1. I think this year we go 9-1. I really do. I think we're better. That's why I think we're going to win on Friday and go 10-1. Because this team is better than last year.
I think we beat
by
Houston
a lot.
You want to call a score for Houston? You want to call like a point differential? Let's do that instead of calling a score. What do we win by, Houston?
Who do we beat by a bigger margin, Celtics or Rockets?
Celtics.
I say Rockets.
I think it's a close game versus the Rockets.
I think Celtics is defense and Rockets is offense.
I think we win by 3 versus the Rockets.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think we beat the Celtics by low 20s.
Well, that's what's coming next. Thank you for listening. Please check out Hank on Prank Encounters on Netflix. Always watch my movies on Netflix. When We First Met, starring fellow Clipper Nation member Adam Devine and myself and The Babysitter, and to a much less extent, Rim of the World. I didn't really like that movie. But just wrapped on The Babysitter 2, which is going
to
be great.
I wanted to plug that for you, but I wasn't sure if it was a secret.
Yeah, no, I'm very funny in The Babysitter, and they beefed up my role in The Babysitter 2, and I can't wait for you guys to see that. It's going to be great. But When We First Met is probably my biggest Netflix movie right now, and that it's kind of fun because it stars another Clipper Nation member, Adam Devine, who loves the Clippers.
Loves them.
And I didn't realize until I got to set is not Adam Levine from The Voice. These are two different people.
You are such a
dummy. I didn't know that. So I was all excited because I had memorized a lot of my Maroon 5 songs.
Oh, my gosh. You're so dumb.
And then it turns out I had actually memorized Sugar Ray songs. So I was very embarrassed. So maybe it was for the best.
Stop.
It was maybe for the best.
Are you punishing me because I didn't
Every
know the show was over?
Every morning there's a halo standing from the corner of my baby's frost bed. I've forgotten
frost,
it since.
Frost bunch bread?
Of my baby's French roast bread.
Great. Now I want French roast bread.
What's that? It's French toast.
Coffee.
It's French roast bread.
Dipped in coffee?
That sounds delicious.
We're not making a show anymore. We're just riffing.
All right,
in the Vivid Seats.
Vivid Seats
Studios.
Sound the horn, for God's sake.
Thanks, Paul.
Yeah, I read books. You believe it, right? Nah, none of that. None of that. You got to cut the check.